morning. My name is Dana. I'm going to speak about multidimensional ICA and its performance analysis applied. Multidimensional ICA and its performance analysis applied to observation of the cosmic microwave background radiation. This is joint work with Jean-François Cardozo, Maud Lejeune, and Hagit Messel. The motivation for this work is as follows. The anisotropies of the cosmic microwave background radiation, also known as CMB, consist of the small temperature fluctuations in the blackbody radiation left over from the Big Bang. The CMB anisotropies depend on cosmological parameters, and thus mapping them correctly yields key quantitative information about the formation of our universe and its structure. Planck satellite of the European Space Agency, which was launched in 2009, is taking images of the whole sky at CMB frequencies with unprecedented frequency coverage, angular resolution, and sensitivity. In this talk, we apply a second-order multidimensional ICA criterion and its performance analysis to astrophysical data. We extend former results to deal with overdetermined data and an unknown dimension of a component. Finally, we show a good match between the empirical and the predicted results. In the astrophysical terms, our purpose is to take a set of images, such as this one, and decompose this set of images into the CMB, the galactic emission, and other components. We use the data model which we use for the multidimensional ICA is as follows. We use a component model. In this model, the observations are a sum of NC contributions, which we denote components. Each component, xi with index xi, denotes component number I at the sample index xi, where xi goes from 1 to L. The length of each of these component vectors is denoted as nd, where nd denotes the number of detectors. The components can be reconstructed from the observations by the oblique projection. The oblique projection is a matrix which projects on the subspace in which a component exists, orthogonally to all the other components. We use a latent model for the components. In this model, each component can be regarded as a product of a tall rectangular matrix, AI, and a short vector, SI. Each vector, SI, denotes a piecewise stationary stochastic process with a covariance. For each index xi, the covariance is indexed by q, for each xi in domain q, where dq denotes the partition of the indices 1 to L into q domains, where q is smaller than or equal to L. For each domain q, we can define a block diagonal matrix. This matrix is created by taking on its block diagonal the covariance matrices of the processes Si. We require that the set of these block diagonal matrices cannot be jointly block diagonalized into smaller blocks. The total length of the vectors Si is the dimension of the signal space, which we denote by Ns, and concatenating side by side the tall rectangular matrices Ai, we construct a matrix which we denote as A, and we require that this matrix A be full column rank. The dimension of the signal space is larger than or equal to the number of components and smaller than or equal to the number of detectors, where equality on both sides takes us back to the simplest ICA model. We perform component separation via maximum likelihood. Maximum likelihood can be obtained from the approximate joint block diagonalization of the empirical localized covariance matrices of the observations by the inverse of the matrix A. The localized empirical covariance matrices of the observations are the normalized sum of the outer product of the observations at each domain. Note that exact joint block diagonalization is possible only if you use the exact or parametric or the expectation of the localized empirical covariance matrices. Therefore, the maximum likelihood procedure consists of first jointly block diagonalizing the empirical localized covariance matrices of the observations. From these, we can estimate the matrix A. From this matrix, we can construct the set of oblique projection matrices on all the components. And by applying this estimate of the oblique projections on the observations, we can estimate the components. Hence, we obtained component separation as desired. Note that this multidimensional ICA procedure is a generalization of the well-known ICA. In order to evaluate the performance of this multidimensional ICA criterion, we use the mean square error. The empirical mean square error is calculated for each component in each detector and in each domain, and it is defined as the normalized sum of the square differences of the empirical and the exact components. Note that if the model holds, then the mean square, the estimated mean square error is larger than zero only due to finite data. That is due to the fact that the number of samples in each domain is finite. If the model holds, then the expectation of the empirical mean square error at each component detector and domain is given by the following expression. This is an expression which is a function only of the exact or parametric covariance matrices of each of the components. We shall not go into details about this complicated expression, but we shall validate it in numerical simulations later. We now define the astrophysical data in terms of the multidimensional ICA model in order to separate the cosmic microwave background radiation from the other components. We use a statistical model for the CMB temperature anisotropy. According to astrophysical theory, the cosmic microwave background radiation is modeled as a zero mean Gaussian stationary process on the sphere with an angular power spectrum CL. This is a typical image of the cosmic microwave background radiation, and this is an illustration of the angular power spectrum, where we shall explain these terms in the next slide. In the terms of our model, the CMB is a one-dimensional component. We denote it NCMB1, and the covariance matrices of the CMB at each index L, or angular frequency L, are given by the product of the angular power spectrum at this index L times the outer product of vector ACMB, where vector ACMB reflects the CMB emission law in all the ND detectors. The angular power spectrum is defined as follows. A two-dimensional function on the surface of the sphere, which is indexed by the azimuth and the polar angle, can be transformed using the spherical harmonic transform into a set of coefficients indexed by two indices, L and M, where L is larger than or equal to zero, and M is between minus and plus L. A and M are the coefficients of the spherical harmonic transform. Therefore, the angular power spectrum of a random stationary process on the sphere for each angular frequency L is given by the average of the expectation of the of the square of the coefficients ALM at all the M modes, all the respective M modes, where the M modes in the spherical harmonic transform, they indicate directionality, and therefore they are averaged out from this expression. In order to model the galactic emission, we have to consider the following properties. The galactic emission, which a typical image of it is given here in one of the CMB frequencies, is a superposition of several physical processes. Due to spatial correlation, these processes are coupled. Therefore, in our model, we can regard this galactic emission as one multidimensional component. We suggest to use the deterministic model for the galactic emission. Since in our model, separation requires only that the spherical harmonic transform coefficients of the cosmic microwave background radiation and of the galactic emission be uncorrelated for all indices, then note that if the galactic emission is deterministic and only the CMB is randomized, this indeed holds, since the CMB is a random process with a zero mean, which is known from astrophysical theory. Therefore, we choose to take the empirical localized covariance matrices of the galactic emission instead of their parametric counterpart. We now use a simplified yet close to realistic setup for our numerical study. First, we consider only two components, the CMB, of course, and the galactic emission. These assumptions are plausible from the astrophysical perspective in the range of indices between 2 and 900. Since our model is free of noise, We omit the noise from our simulations. We now partition the range of indices between 2 and 900 into consecutive non-overlapping domains, each of length 5 L-modes. We take the number of detectors to be 9, which is the same as in the Planck experiment. Our simulations are based on the Planck Sky model, which is a software package written by the Planck Component Separation Work Group, and it creates realistic images of the sky emissions at sea at the CMB frequencies. Further, the regions in the maps where the CMB is too contaminated are masked out. Therefore, the set of our data consists of 9 images, more or less like this one. Now, it turns out that numerically, the multidimensional ISA model which we have just presented cannot be applied directly to the data. This happens due to the following points. Our analysis requires that the signal space dimension be equal to the number of detectors. And since the dimension of the CMB is 1, which is well known from astrophysical analysis, this means that we force the dimension of the galactic emission to be 8. However, since the eigenvalues of the empirical localized covariance matrices of the galactic emission vary within 10 orders of magnitude, then the joint block diagonalization of the observations of the empirical localized covariance matrices of the observations with block dimensions 1 and 8 is numerically ill-conditioned. This means that in practice, the dimension of the signal space is smaller than the number of detectors, hence an overdetermined problem. Since we do not want to ignore detectors, then we have to answer the following questions. First, given the correct dimension of the galactic emission, how can we apply the maximum likelihood and the joint block diagonalization? And second, what is the correct dimension for the galactic emission? So, first, given the right dimension for the galactic emission, we want to turn the overdetermined problem into a determined one. We do this via dimension reduction using principal component analysis. First, the dimension of the signal space is the dimension of the galactic emission plus 1. We now take the first ns singular vectors of the empirical covariance matrix of all the observations into the tall rectangular matrix US, and the transpose of this matrix projects the n-dimensional observations onto a reduced ns-dimensional vector space. We now take the empirical localized covariance matrices of the observations in the reduced vector space and use them as the input of the joint block diagonalization, which now works, and the output is an invertible matrix, which we denote by A tilde, and this one has indeed rank NS. We now use the inverse projection to expand this matrix back to the ND-dimensional observation space. And again, we have obtained an estimate of the mixing matrix A, and from this matrix, again, we can estimate the oblique projection matrices and apply them on the observations and obtain estimates of the components. Hence, we again obtained component separation as desired. We now discuss the problem of selecting the order or the dimension of the galactic emission. In general, the considerations are that this dimension should be the smallest one for which the model holds, with a certain tolerated error. If we choose a dimension which is too small, this means that we give a wrong model for the data, and therefore our separation will not work. If we choose a dimension which is too large, then again we go back to the bad conditioning problem, and also we shall have redundant parameters. So in order to select the dimension for the galactic emission, we use numerical experiments, and this figure summarizes this experiment. For each candidate dimension of the galactic emission, we calculate the empirical minimum square error twice. In this example, is for the reconstruction of the cosmic microwave background component. Once we calculate the empirical mean square error with the finite data errors, that is the normal way, and second, we calculate it without the finite data errors. This is obtained by performing the joint block diagonalization on the exact or expected on the exact parameters, which are the expectation of the empirical localized covariance matrices of the observations. This imitates asymptotic conditions. In each case, the empirical mean square error is averaged over 40 Monte Carlo trials. So the results for the results are summarized in the following figure. First, for a candidate dimension of 4, we see that the graphs, the blue line and the red circles line, are separate. And this means that indeed for this dimension of the galactic emission, indeed the finite data error is the dominant factor in the mean square error, which is the means that it seems that the model is okay, and we compared it to we compare this to a dimension of 3. In this case, we see that both results, it's a green line and a line with black circles. We see that these lines almost overlap. So first, we see that the mean square error for a dimension of 3 is significantly larger than the error for the dimension of 4, which means it's not very favorable. And second, this implies that for the dimension of 3, the model error is dominant. We have also run this experiment with a galactic dimension candidate of 5, which is not depicted, and the results were very, very similar to the results with dimension of 4. We have also obtained similar trends with the running the same experiment on the mean square error in other detectors, as well as with the reconstruction of the galactic emission component, and the results were always similar. So we conclude that the best dimension to describe the galactic emission is 4. Now, using a galactic dimension of 4, we would like to compare our theoretical prediction of the mean square error, which was the complicated expression which we have shown several slides before. We want to compare it to the empirical result. So in this figure, the blue colors denote the empirical mean square error, again calculated for the CMB component in one of the detector channels. The thick blue line denotes the average of the empirical mean square error over 40 Monte Carlo trials, and the vertical blue lines denote half the standard deviation of these 40 Monte Carlo trials. The red line depicts the predicted theoretical mean square error. So, and we normalized these two mean square errors, the empirical and the theoretical one. They are normalized for each index L, for each angular frequency L, by the angular power spectrum of the CMB component. So first, we see that the normalized mean square error is more or less at the value of 10 to the minus 4. This means that the error is relatively small and it indicates good separation. Second, we see that the predicted value is within the standard deviation margins. And we obtain similar trends at the same experience with different detector frequencies and also for the reconstruction of the galactic emission component. So these results validate our theoretical prediction of the mean square error for this model and for this data. So to summarize, we applied a multidimensional ICA method and its performance analysis in terms of components to astrophysical data. We extended former results to deal with overdetermined data and an unknown dimension of a component, and we have shown good match between the empirical and the predicted results. Finally, we acknowledge the use of the Planck Sky model developed by the Component Separation Working Group of the Planck Collaboration. Thank you.
Hello. My first question is, what do you gain over ICA, classical ICA? So with MICA, do you have any performance gain over ICA?
When the model holds, yes, there is a gain. When the model holds, yes, there is a gain, and we have shown this in a paper which we showed in a conference, in SSP conference. Yes, theoretically, there is a gain. With this data, where the model does not hold exactly, and we have actually ignored the fact that we assume that the power spectra are piecewise stationary, but indeed, in practice, they are not. So the model does not hold exactly. So in practice, we compared our results to classical ICA with clustering of the data, and in fact, the results are very similar.
But from a technique that is aiming to do dependent component analysis, what I would actually have liked to see how the dependent components separate. That's these four components you're talking about.
This method does not separate the dependent components. It is only intended to optimally separate the independent components, and it does not separate the dependent components between themselves.
But in that case, I cannot see what you can gain. Okay, you are considering basically two independent components, the galactic component and CMB. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I cannot see the difference of this from classical ICA.
First, one advantage is the theoretical performance analysis, which is derived from the multidimensional model. I do not know a performance analysis which is derived from the classical ICA. So this is
yes,
a big advantage already.
Yes, but for example, there are works working on this from a Bayesian perspective and considering all of the sources. And there is also a recent paper that tried to separate the dependent components that was presented in this year at LVA ICA conference, for example. So what, I mean, it's very nice work. Okay, it's very nice that you did all these analyses, but what is really essential is to see what you actually gain when compared to the other techniques.
Okay, first, this is in this particular work, it's a very preliminary work using this algorithm. It is not. It does not intend or say that it's going to be better than other methods. Especially, it does not. It may be used. It does not intend to separate the dependent components, but it may be used as perhaps a better tool at estimating, at separating the CMB from the galactic emission, using a blind assumption, which has an advantage at least in some parts of the data. It is not intended to be a better solution for instead of all the other methods which are applied to ICA. Other methods may be better in separating the, for instance, may be better in separating the components and the dependent components, but they may be more sensitive to some other properties of the data, which this method is not, since it is blind.
Okay, one very quick, another
yes.
Unrelated question. You found out a dimension of 4 for the for the galactic component.
Yes.
But what we actually expect are the synchrotron emission, galactic dust emission, and free emission.
Yes.
What can be this fourth component?
It is not really a fourth, again, it is not a fourth component. Probably if we took a mask, which was perhaps masking more of the galactic emission, then we would have attained the coupling between these three galactic emission sources, which you have mentioned, may be more negligible, and very likely, if we had a wider mask and would have worked only on the higher angles of the higher polar angles of this map, then we would have obtained a galactic dimension of 3. This dimension is only intended to run the separation. It is not. It does not have an astrophysical meaning by itself. It is, say, a parameter for the separation.
Okay, but related to what you just said, okay, but canceling that part in the middle, you are basically restricting yourself to the area where there is only CMB. Okay, the galactic components are on the galactic plane. So
yes.
I would have really liked to see the result there.
Again, you know. Since this is a very simple example, we can also choose different patches of the sky, perhaps only the galactic plane, or other patches which contain only part of the piece of the sky which I have masked, and use again this algorithm on these patches, and we probably have different results. This, again, this is just a simplified example.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.